Anyway, we're studying the book of Exodus. As Roger was saying a few minutes ago, the Old Testament books were usually the first name or the first words in the books was what the Jews called them. And, of course, the book of Genesis, it's Barashit. So it's that first thing is Barashit, Bara, Elohim, Et Hashemayim, Weyat Haaretz. So the first word in there, that's the name of the book. And Genesis, it comes from to begin in Greek. Exodus, they kind of changed it because that's the way out. What's the word for in Lakota for the way out? Lakota. Way out, Lakota. Hantayo. In Lakota, that means the way out. So that's the way out. And it talks about how they got out. Exodus is a good name for it, but the real name is Wiyale Shemot.
This is Brown Driver and Briggs, the master lexicon that we go from. We do use others. Roger was over at the house yesterday, I think, and we looked at different lexicons. Here is a very good commentary on probably the best besides the one I wrote. I don't think there's a better commentary than what I have written on the book of Genesis and Exodus either, to tell you the truth, and I humbly say that. It's just that I went deeper than anybody else that's ever in print. This is good. This is Colin DeLeach. This is the first five books of Moses. As you can see, it's a thick book. And the only thing about it, it's got a lot of German. They expect you to know Greek, and they expect you to know Hebrew. So it writes in Greek and Hebrew and in Latin. So you have to know some of those things to read this book. And many pastors have this on their bookshelves, but they never read it. I did read it, as you can see. It's all messed up. I was reading this book one time about 5 or 6 years ago, and a woman came by, and I was marking in the book and everything. She said, "I bet that book weighs 5 pounds more after you got through writing it." But I write them up a little bit. And the same thing with all of them. We're still in the first volume of the book Exodus, and Brother Roger was so kind to copy the Hebrew for me, so I didn't have to. My hands are wearing out with arthritis, and I haven't time getting it all done. What we're going to study tonight, we're going to go back just a little bit and understand the miracles that are the plagues, are the signs that God used, and why He used them in Egypt. Why did He do that? We see this again in what other book? The same plagues. What is another book that has the plagues in it? It's yet to happen.
Revelation.
The book of Revelation repeats the same thing. A lot of people use a lot of symbolism in the book of Exodus here. In this, it talks about the church age and all that, which in some ways it does. I just don't want to go too far with things. Don't try to push things further than they actually go. Did you know that Moses and Aaron did not announce some of the plagues before they hit Pharaoh with them? The first, the second, the fourth, the seventh, and the eighth plagues were announced. The first, the second, the fourth, the seventh, and eighth plagues were announced to Pharaoh before they happened. Let's go back and look at what was the first miracle that Aaron performed in the presence of Pharaoh.
Throwing his staff down?
When he threw his staff down. And remember the staff. The staff was, as the book of Jasher says, it was the staff of God, and the Bible says it was the staff of God. It belonged to God. It's God's staff. And according to the book of Jasher and all the Talmud, Babylonian Talmud, and all the writings of the Jewish people, the staff that Aaron and Moses had in Egypt was the staff that God gave to Adam in the Garden of Eden. It was a symbol of authority that he gave to him. He passed it on down, went down to Noah, and so on and so forth, all the way down to Joseph. And then Jethro ended up with it, and he put it out in his garden and planted it in his garden, stuck it in his garden, and no one could pull it out. And this is where the sword and the stone story and legend began. It began with actually Adam or God's rod. No one could pull it out until Moses came, and he just pulled it right out of the dirt. And there it was. And then he took that staff down into Egypt. He gave it to Aaron. Where is that staff today? Where is it today? Where? In the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant is where Aaron's rod is. Aaron's rod that budded, and what was the wood that that rod was made out of? Excuse my grammar. What was it made out of?
Almond
wood. And it budded one time, symbolizing the resurrection, that God is the God of the resurrection. And we're going to see how he fights all of this. What was in the top of that stone? What was the jewel that was in the top of the stone? The stone that was in the top of that rod. There was a stone in the top of the rod, a precious stone. Sapphire. Blue. The color of blue, the color of heaven. That authority came from heaven.
It bloomed? It budded?
No, it did bud. Not the sapphire stone, but the rod. The rod that it was below that, okay? The authority came from heaven. And it says in the book of Jasher that God held that rod in his hand when he created the heavens and the earth. And when he restored it before he put man on the earth. And then he gave that symbol authority of that rod to Adam in the Garden of Eden. And Adam handed it down through his children. The first, second, fourth, seventh, and eighth plagues were announced beforehand. Okay? The first, the fourth, and the seventh plagues were announced to Pharaoh in the morning. The first and the fourth by the side of the Nile River. Exodus 7:15-8:20. Both of these plagues were connected with the overflowing of the Nile River. This is a high water season, okay? The place of announcement is not mentioned in the seventh plague, 9 and 13. All of the other plagues came from the earth or something related to the earth, except for the plague of hail. Hail comes from where? Out of the sky or heaven. Okay? Let's go on down and look a little bit more. We're up to 7:29. We're going to read that again, but I'm going to talk about the gods of Egypt for a moment. The gods of Egypt. Here's a word right here. Noom. All right. He's the guardian of the Nile. And then Hopi is the spirit of the Nile. Okay? He's the guardian of the Nile, Noom. And then Hopi is the spirit of the Nile. And that's when God turned the Nile River, which was a symbol of all life in Egypt. That's what brought all the fertilization. That's what brought life to this land that was different than all the other lands. There was plenty of a water source, and water is life. Water is life. And people have had water wars for 6,000 years fighting over wells. Mark Twain once said, Mark Twain said, that whiskey was for drinking and water was for fighting. Wars are over water. Right now we've got a great problem in the San Joaquin Valley here. Jim Nichols got scrambled and got a hold of the water rights to the Kern River and sold them to L.A. Water and Power, and all of our water is going out of the valley. They drilled 18 water wells out there above Buena Vista, and they're pumping 24 hours a day, 2,000 gallons a minute out of each one of those wells, and it's all going to Los Angeles. And in the end, there's going to be water wars. Okay? Now, God decided to have a water war with Pharaoh, because that was Num and Hopi. Num is the Nile River, basically the guardian of the Nile, and Hopi is the spirit of the Nile. He was going to show that he was more powerful than them. And before we even get to them, the first miracle was what? The first miracle. When God had Aaron throw his rod down. Okay. Now, originally the rod, when Moses was in the land of Midian, when he threw the rod down there, what did it become?
A snake,
a Nahash. When he came before Pharaoh, in Pharaoh's palace, when he threw the rod down, what did it become? A dragon, a leviathan, a great giant creature. Okay? The creature, the leviathan, of course, is the mythological or the supernatural creature that the book of Jasher and all the rabbinical writings say that is the supernatural. It's the feminine sea monster or sea serpent, whatever you want to call it. It's out in the oceans that causes all the shipwrecks, and the sea serpent Leviathan is the one that's in the Sea of Galilee that caused all the violent storms there. So when Aaron threw his rod down there, it became a sea serpent or a Leviathan or a dragon. And it means, the word goes back all the way to smoke and fire. The Chinese parades and everything and festivals, they have this dragon that they walk around with, and it's breathing fire. Okay? That's the Leviathan also. What was on Pharaoh's head, on his crown? A cobra. God said he was stronger than any serpent, any sea serpent, any Leviathan, anything. That he was the God that created all of these things. Okay? He said when he overcame Num and Hopi, Num is the guardian of the Nile and Hopi is the spirit of the Nile. When he overcame them, he said, I am stronger than Hopi and Num. Showing them. And this is the life source of Egypt. He was stronger. What he's going to show Pharaoh is that he is the God that owns. He is the real ruler of Egypt, not Pharaoh. Jehovah God is the real ruler of Egypt. Jehovah Elohim. Look at that word. Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah means what? It's a promise. The one who shall become, that's Jesus. And then Elohim, what does that mean? Every nation has an Elohim. What is that? Creator. Only Israel and the saved have Jehovah. Because He's our covenant God. He is our Savior. He is the one that watches over us. All right? Let's go on. We studied the plague of the frogs. The frogs. There was a God of the resurrection. That's the God of the resurrection right there in the Greek or in the Egyptian culture. Hecht. That's the God of the resurrection. And the Egyptians worshipped him in the form of a frog. All right? They worshipped him in the form of a frog. Now, the God of the resurrection, and they all hoped to be resurrected. Why were all the people mummified in Egypt? because they thought they were going to have everlasting life, and sooner or later they're going to be resurrected. The Pharaohs took all of their wealth with them so they would be wealthy in the resurrection. Okay? Well, Hit was the god of the resurrection and took the form of a frog. So now what battlefield is God dealing with? Jesus, or Jehovah, is saying, I am the God of the resurrection. They mummified all those people so their bodies could be found in the resurrection. They put all those tombs up and everything else, and Egypt is a graveyard. That's what it is. It's a graveyard. It's a necropolis. It's a city of the dead for thousands of years. When we get down to the moraine, to anthrax, when God sent anthrax on them, Apis was a symbol of fertility, and that was the bull god. Apis, that's the bull god. Apis. All right. Let all of you see that and write that down. Apis was the bull god. So God is going to fight all of their little gods on their own ground in that battlefield. Jesus says, a vicious, strong ruler can only be overcome when you go on to his ground and whip him on his own soil. And God here is going to fight Egypt and Pharaoh and all of Egypt's gods on their territory. He's going to go down in their territory, in their home ground. The god of medicine. The god of medicine was Imhotep. Imhotep. God of medicine, the god of curing. They had a lot of cures. They had a lot of doctors in Egypt. A lot of doctors in Egypt. They had the greatest medicine in the world at that time. Either it was here in America or over there. The rest of the world was in the dark medicine, the dark ages as far as medicine was concerned. The Greeks that we talk about, the Greek medicine, you know that the world followed the idea of Greek medicine for like 3,000 years, and it took them that long to shake it off because it was not true. All it was legends. The American Indians had better medicine here than they had any place. And the Egyptians had better medicine there. They really usurped. The Chinese had better medicine there than any place else in the world because they didn't go by the Hippocrates oath or whatever it was. Imhotep, the god of medicine and cures. Jehovah the Elohim was more powerful than Imhotep. The boils, the staph infection. That's a bad word, isn't it, young lady? Staph gene, staph infection. That's strong stuff, isn't it? That's something you can hardly fight. That's what this was, a staph infection. He said it was real strong. They had it back then. All right. The sky goddess was Nut. Nut. Just like Nut. Nut was the sky goddess. The sky goddess was control of all the weather. The sky goddess Nut was in control of all of the weather. So when God sent the hail, guess what happened? He was fighting the goddess Nut on her own ground. Zeph was the Egyptian god that protected the crops. Zeph. Zeph in Hebrew means what? Substitute. Zeph. That was the Egyptian god that protected the crops, and the locusts destroyed the crops. God's locust. We find God's locust in the book of Revelation also. We find hail in the book of Revelation also. Let's go on a little bit further. There was a plague of darkness. A plague of darkness. I went down here in this bathroom today, in between classes there, I went in there and the door shut, and I mean, there is no windows in there. That place is dark. I remember one other time when I went up to my friend, Fred Bess, had a pantry up in Glenville. I used to be a coon hunter and a bear hunter and lion hunter, and I'd go hunt with Fred. And he had a outside pantry. Had real thick walls, really heavy insulation in it, because it gets cold up there in the wintertime. And it had two doors. When you go into that pantry, the food didn't see, you know, light destroys food. That place was so insulated and everything. You walk in there, you close the first door, you go in there the second door, you close that. I mean, you can feel the darkness. I was down years ago in Carlsbad Caverns, way down in the bottom of Carlsbad Caverns. You been there?
I went to a different cavern.
Okay. You went down there and they turned all the lights out. And they sang Amazing Grace. I'm going to tell you something. People fainted when they turned those lights out. They fainted because it was so dark. So dark. But you know what? There's artificial light because people had radium dials on their watches and everything. A lot of them, there was a little bit of light. You could see every now and then, when your eyes would adjust a little bit, you could see objects here and there very dimly. But Ra, Atem, Atum, and Horus were the sun gods of Egypt. Re, Atem, Atum, and Horus was the sun gods of Egypt. They were the sun gods of Egypt. And God told them that He was greater than all the sun gods of Egypt. And I'm going to tell you something, they got a lot of sun over in Egypt. But God made the land turn black and dark. Osiris! Osiris! How many of you have heard that? That's a famous god, Osiris. Osiris was the god of life. He was the god of life, the giver of life. He was the god of conception. The firstborn child that you had was a gift of Osiris. Okay? A gift of Osiris. Apis is the bull god. That's the bull god, the god of fertility. Okay, and Re, Atum, and Horus. Okay, what did you want to know?
Apis is the god of fertility.
Yes, the bull god.
And Osiris.
Osiris is the, wherever I put that someplace. Osiris is the god of life. Okay, the life, the giver of life, conception. Okay, the one that gave the firstborn. Now we find out that by the third plague that the Egyptian religious leaders, the priests of Egypt, were put to shame. But then they didn't even show up anymore. It's the end of it. They're gone. They have nothing. They're more powerful than us. God's hand, the hand of Jehovah, is reaching down and touching this land. They told Pharaoh, we can't do anything about it. And we're going to dislodge some false teaching as we go along here. We're going to dislodge a little bit of some false teaching. Things that people have been repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating over the years. I said that because my pastor said that. Remember yesterday you were sitting in my house and I was playing a tape of my teacher in 1940-something, Fred Stevenson. And he says, when you talk about the inspiration of the Bible, and I believe the Bible, many Bible students believe the Bible because their pastor said that the Bible was true. And then when you get to studying on your own, your faith gets shaky. As you study the Word of God, if you study it correctly, especially from the original languages, it's going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You're going to find out that every tense, mode, and voice is inspired of God. All the roots of the words that God used are inspired of God. 7:29. We're going to read it in Hebrew, and then we'll translate it. 7:29. You be called. You be amika. You be called. You vadika. Avadika, that is. Ya alu. Hasfardim. These Sfardim. These are the frog people. And upon you, and upon your people, and in all of your slaves, all of your slaves, servants, these people are bought and paid for, shall keep on coming up the frogs. Keep on coming up the frogs. Now, in this period of time, things were happening out of season here. When something would happen normally, it was happening out of season. Remember when Israel, and we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves, when Israel left the land of Egypt, God provided them with food. And that one of the foods that He provided them was a natural food. And what was it that they gathered normally? What was it that they normally gathered out there, those Bedouins? What did they normally gather a little of? Huh? Manna. Manna means what is it? Manna. Say manna. Manna. What is it? What is it? That's what it means. They didn't know what it was. But this fruit came and it tasted like honey. And it looked like a coriander seed, which is like a cilantro seed. Okay? Coriander is cilantro. God created a lot of it. Now, when the Nile River overflowed and when it receded, a lot of frogs came in. A lot of frogs. A lot of frogs. The Rena, Moseka. Heck was their god of the resurrection. The word frogs means to these frog people. The Indians called them frog people. The fish are called underwater people, according to the Lakota. Okay, that's the underwater people. These are all little people, beings. By the way, do animals have souls? Yes, they do. Animals have souls. All animals have souls. I know you haven't been taught that in the past, but all animals have souls. They have nephesh, and that's an individual life. That is a soul. Nephesh, say nephesh. Nephesh, that is a soul. All right? We have souls, animals have souls. All animals, all bugs have souls. Okay? All created things have life, are individuals of life. Have you ever seen a dog that didn't like somebody? Have you ever seen a dog that loved somebody? No matter how bad they were treated, they loved that person no matter what. Yeah. They loved that person. God, dogs are a gift to man. This is to show him how that God's man should love God. Even though you get kicked out of this world, you ought to love God anyway. The frog people. They are leapers, dancers. Their name means to chirp and to leap and dance around. And do they do all these little things? You come out of my house and the frogs will talk to you. I've got frogs out there that talk to me all the time. I talk to chickens, too. I talk to all these little animals out there. If you've ever been around out there, you'll find out I talk to them. Have you ever been out there, Gene? You've been to my house, yeah. Go out there and I talk to the chickens. I got one chicken out there that is so ornery that she won't get off of her nest till I come and take her out in the morning and put her down. That's Rose. She'll say, Rose, are you waiting for me? I'll say, come here. And she'll set up, and then I'll take her and put her out on the ground. She's really old. And the frogs.
In the summertime, we have lots of hornets and wasps. And I'll go out there on the back porch, and we've got barrels sitting around there that's got things growing in it, these oak barrels, oak whiskey barrels is what they were, and wine barrels, whatever. Anyway, they're cut half in two, and we've got plants in them. And I'll go out there with my BB gun, and when the wasps and hornets light, I shoot them. And they fall down on the ground, and the little frogs that are sitting underneath there, they'll jump out there and grab the hornets and wasps. They like them, like candy. How they doesn't bother them stinging or whatever, I don't know, but it doesn't bother them at all. And they'll wait for me there. And after now and then, if I don't get one very often, they'll just say, boop, 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 boop. You know, they'll make little frog sounds. They'll mumble along to me and chirp. They kind of chirp. Kind of like a chicken sound, like a bird. And that's what the word means. Page 717 in Gesenius. It means to talk in a low voice. To whisper. To chirp. To croak. It means to conjure. Alright? And what is this Egyptian god? What was this Egyptian god? The god Heck was god of what? Remember what Heck was? The god of the resurrection. Alright. To call forth the dead. Okay? The Egyptian magicians and religious leaders were put to shame by the third plague in 819. Alright, now here they are. God is saying here that Jehovah proves that He is the Lord of the land and the Lord of the resurrection. 8 and verse 1 now. 8 and verse 1. Wyomer, Hadavar, El Moshe, Emor, Aharonel, Ronan, I got something written down there wrong. Aharon, El Aharon, El Aharon, Nite, Et, Yadika, Ba-Matika, El, Ha-Ni, Charot, All, Ha-Yarim, We All, Ha-A-Gamim, We Ha-All, Et, Ha-Tfardim, All, Eretz, Mitzrayim. Frogs usually came when the water, the flood waters receded, but they came in droves, but not a lot. Remember, about 3 years ago, we had lots of toads. How many of you have toads? You had a lot of toads? We had thousands of them out there, and I was trying to protect every one of them. You know that the only thing that will eat a toad is a crow? And they were eating, the crows were eating my toads, and I was mad. They were out there eating them up like candy, leaving their little skeletons on my lawn. And toads eat bugs, and I've got plenty of bugs, and I like those toads. And I was upset when the crows started eating my toads. Well, they come in there by droves, and by the way, these frogs and toads, they eat a lot of things. They eat almost anything. They'll eat hornets and wasps, I guarantee you that much. Ants. All kinds of things. And of course, I told you I've got welfare frogs that get jump up and climb up out there in the shop. They climb up this egg crate and get up there on top of the egg crate and jump in the cat's dish where I feed the cat, and they eat the cat food, and they're sitting there like that, all so filled with cat food they can hardly get out of there. The cat's going there and trying to eat and looking at the frog in her face. And he said and kept on saying Jehovah, Ha-Dabar. Ha-Dabar is a Hebraism. The word Jehovah, when in John 1 and 1, where it says, in beginning, in RK, ein ho logos, is what it says in Greek. The word ho logos there, it says, they translate it, the word. They should have actually translated it, the Jehovah. Because it's a Hebraism. It is a figure of speech. The word, or the Jehovah. Because they did not speak His name. And why did Israel become afraid to speak the name of, the personal name of God?
What commandment scared them? Thou shalt not take the Lord thy God's name in vain. And they were afraid to speak his name anyway, so they referred to him as Ha-the-bar, as the word, or Hashem as the name, or what's the other one, brother?
Adonai.
Adonai today. Adonai means the Lord of Lords. Wayomer Ha-the-bar, Jehovah, El Moshe, Emor. And he kept on saying Jehovah unto Moses. What does Moses mean? That means to rescue or to draw out, literally. Say, masculine singular, cal imperative, unto Aaron, El Aharon, Niteh, stretch out your hand, stretch out your hand. Look at that et in there. Et is a sign of the direct object. Stretch out, and then he tells what to stretch out, your hand. Okay? Stretch out your hand with your staff, the sign of authority, which was what? Adam's rod, the rod of authority, the rod of power, the thing that caused all of the power. God was doing this, not Aaron and not Moses. God was doing the miracles. And God wanted Egypt to know that he was the God. They weren't conjurers like their magicians and their soothsayers and all of that. These were simply men of God that were following instructions that God told them to do, and God was doing the miracles. Jehovah was performing these miracles, not these men. All right? Put your staff over the rivers. All right? And what's the river gods? All right? Noom was what? The guardian of the Nile, and Hopi was the spirit of the Nile. Now again, he's going to strike at the river gods. Over and over again, God keeps emphasizing that I am the God, I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. Not Hopi, not Num, not Hek, not Imhotep. Over the rivers, the streams, and over all of the tributary streams and all of the canals that come out of there. And over all of the reservoirs, the pools, the cisterns. And bring up the frogs upon the land, upon Egypt, the land of Egypt. Bring these frogs upon Egypt. Now Pharaoh was a man with a steel-hardened heart. He was a man that was accustomed to controlling all the commerce of the land. He was accustomed to the abuse of his power. He had lorded power over people, they had lorded power over people for generations. The power of death and the power of life, the power of wealth. And Jehovah was going to show him a lesson. Nine penal plagues. What does penal mean? Nine penal plagues. What does that mean? Nine plagues that punished, that would bring him to repentance. Punish that would bring him to repentance. Punishment. The frogs by the Egyptians was called Daphda, Arena, Mosaica, and Nilatika. These are different names. Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation, the 13th chapter. Let's go there real quick. Revelation, the book of Revelation, not Revelations. The book of Revelation. And what does it reveal to us, the book of Revelation? It, Jesus Christ and his power. In the land of Egypt, God revealed to Egypt Jehovah and his power. In the book of Revelation, God is going to reveal to the world one more time Jehovah and his power. Okay? Let's look at this. Now, I want you to understand that Satan has creative powers. A lot of people will deny that. But Satan has creative powers. But God, and the Egyptians mimicked everything that God did, didn't they? They mimicked it. To begin with, they started mimicking everything that God's prophets were doing. Actually, it was Jehovah. Everything that they were doing, the Egyptian religious leaders, priests, whatever you want to call them, pastors of the people, they were doing the same thing. And God allowed that to begin with because Satan can do miracles, can he? Does Satan do miracles? Satan has done miracles all the time. Does Satan have religions? God has one, and Satan's got many. All right? Satan always mimics God. All right? And he stood upon the sand of the seashore, and I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads. On his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. This is something that Satan has created and brought up. Huh? By the way, we talked about Genesis, the 6th chapter, verses 1 there this morning, and 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. Did angels create anything on earth? Did angels create anything? Or procreate anything? The Nephilim. The Nephilim means falling ones. The angels procreated with womankind and brought forth children that were Nephilim, great big things. Every time you see in the Bible an angel, is he big? He's big, isn't he? All right. So when angels would procreate, now it also says, Jesus said in the New Testament that in the resurrection, of course he was talking to the Sadducees there. They didn't believe in the resurrection anyway. But he said, you err not knowing the scriptures, for in heaven we're not married and given in marriage in heaven, but we're like angels. Talking about the angels in heaven. The angels in heaven are not procreating. But the angels down on the earth and under Satan's realm were procreating and bringing forth this monstrosity, damaged gene pool. And so God destroyed it by the flood. But they were before the flood and after the flood we find these Nephilim or giants that were monstrosities crossed between angels and mankind. Angels and mankind. Who were some of those? Goliath, Gog, all right, and all of, we'll go back and look at all, they name them, it names them in the Bible. You don't see them very much in the Bible, but when you study it from Hebrew, you see this, and this was Goliath's brother, and this was Goliath's brother, and this was Goliath's brother.
Were they all bad?
They were all bad. They were all Nephilim. They were all bad Nephilim. The Nephilim are wicked.
They could have bad parents and turn out good.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if any of them
were. They were all bad. Okay. These are all demonic.
Okay.
See, these are all fallen angels. Okay? At the beach, what I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion, and a lion's mouth is very powerful. But I tell you what, have you got a cat?
I have one.
You had a cat. How many of you have a cat? Ever had a cat? No? Cats? You know what a cat can do? They can lick the meat off of bones. Because their tongue is like a rasp on the back of the tongue. They can just stick that tongue out and lick, and it's got little thorns on it, and it'll just tear the meat off. A lion's mouth is dangerous. A cat's mouth is dangerous. And the dragon. The dragon gave him power. The dracon, the great Leviathan, gave him his power and his throne and his great authority. Who is this? Who is this dragon? This is Satan. And I saw one of his heads had been slain and his fatal wound was healed. He had been slain. He had been killed. The man was killed. And what did Satan do? Satan raised him from the dead. Just like God raised his son from the dead. Just like Jesus resurrected people. So Satan's going to copy again. All the things that God does, Satan's going to copy. And he is supernatural and he has great power. But he is not omnipotent. That's the difference between God and Satan. Satan has limited powers. God is omnipotent.
And his fatal wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. Now the whole earth, the entire earth, now that is a hyperbole. That's an exaggeration. And the Bible uses that. We're going to see them in the book of Exodus. All right? The whole earth. No, not the whole earth followed him. But it seemed like the whole earth followed him. And they worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to wage war with him? All right? Who is able to raise war with him? And he opened up his mouth and blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. All right? Now let's go down to the 11th verse. And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. Now, I want you to understand something. God put his seed in Mary in Palestine so many years ago, and he raised forth one like him, and he is the only begotten God, Jehovah. Jehovah means he who shall become, and he became. God impregnated Mary and brought forth his child with his seed, and he brought forth the Redeemer. In Genesis, the third chapter, we have the promise that God promised that there would be a pure lineage of a woman and that he would bring forth the Messiah in Genesis 3 and 15, 16, 17. The first promise of the Messiah in the Bible. Genesis 4 and 1, Eve thought she had brought forth the Messiah, but she did it with Adam. The woman would bring forth the Messiah with God. Okay. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, we have angels procreating with women, bringing forth messiahs, bringing forth giants, powerful beings. And by the way, back over here in before the flood, if you killed an animal at that period of time, what was the penalty if a man killed an animal? Death penalty. You, an animal, had a soul, and you didn't kill animals. You didn't do that. But we find out from the book of Enoch that the Nephilim were killing and eating and drinking the blood of the animals. And they were also slipping up on people and grabbing them by the throat and drinking the blood of humankind. This is where the vampire stories got started. They were real. These were vampires. They were vicious, vicious beings. But they were procreated. And when you procreate something, you create life. And life begins there. And this demonic, fallen angel, Nephilim life began on the earth. And then God destroyed all of it in the flood, didn't he? But it says the Nephilim walked the earth before and after the flood. And in the last days, you know who the Antichrist is going to be? God is going to allow Satan to impregnate a woman and bring forth a child after his kind. That's the Antichrist. He's going to be real. And that's going to be Satan's son. Satan's son. You know, they made a series of movies out. Gregory Peck starred in one of them, remember? About the omen and all of that. This is what's going to happen. This guy is going to be a supernatural being, able to influence people by the millions. Okay? And I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He's going to be like the sacrificial lamb that Jesus was. And it spoke like a dragon, a false prophet. He spoke like his daddy. And he exercises all authority over the first beast in his presence. And he makes the earth and those who dwell on it worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that even he makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. These are miracles. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs, the miracles,
which it was given to him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And then he's going to make this image live. He's going to make a created image live. And there was given him breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast might even speak and cause as many as do worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all small and great and rich and the poor and free men and slaves to be given a mark on the right hand and on the forehand. No one should be able to buy or sell or get a job or do anything unless they have the mark of the beast upon them. I think we already got it in the world. We got citizen numbers. We got Social Security numbers. All it has to do, all this stuff needs to be implemented. Can you get a job without a Social Security number today?
If you're an illegal alien.
Yeah, that's all the way. All right. Can you get a bank account without a Social Security number? Can you have a checking account without a Social Security number? Can you have a driver's license without a Social Security number? Can't get a job without one. That answer your question? It's already coming. Now let's go back.
Has the rapture happened?
Oh no, the rapture hasn't happened. But all the preludes to it are taking place.
I mean, at this point.
Oh yes. Oh yes, the rapture is already gone. Go to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. That's in the New Testament also. 2 Thessalonians. Are you over there, Judy? All right. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 12. 2, 3 through 12. Let's look at that. Yeah, come up here so they can't hear you over there on the camera.
3 through 12?
Uh-huh.
Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things, and now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at a proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. But the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and to be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Did God make Pharaoh the way he was? Did God make Pharaoh the way he was? What do you think about that? I don't think God made Pharaoh the way he was. I think he used Pharaoh the way he was. He used him. Did God make Judas Iscariot the way he was? But he used him the way he was. God sent 9 penal plagues on Egypt so that Pharaoh could repent. And then when he sent the plague of the firstborn, he gave him another chance. He didn't kill him. He didn't kill Pharaoh. And he left him alive for one reason, to prove how powerful he was over Pharaoh in any earthly order. If the United States thinks it's a powerful hogwash, China, Russia, You know, Russia was against the law to be a Christian there for a long, long time. Still against the law to be a Christian in China. And in North Korea, you got to do exactly what they say up there in North Korea, don't you, brother? You worship their gods first. You got to worship pagan gods before you can go to church. That's swear allegiance to them. Satan's very powerful. Satan is the god of this age, little god, that is, the source of authority of this age. But we see God's power running through that all the time. That's overcoming him. Every time somebody's saved in this world, God won the victory. Every time somebody's saved, God has won the victory. Let's go on a little further now. We didn't get too far in the scriptures tonight, but did you learn something? Now, this is why I tried to get everybody to come today. There's some good stuff in here. All right? Why yet? Aharon, et, yado, al, mimi, mitzrayimim, wa ta'al, hatsi fardika, wa tikaas, et, eretz, mitzrayim. By the way, in some of the scriptures and some of the Hebrew text, this is verse 6 of Exodus, by the way. And he stretched out Aaron his hand upon the waters, the Mimi. What is the waters? The god of Kanum and Hopi. Kanum is what? The guardian of the Nile. Hopi is the spirit of the Nile. Again, he is going to overpower these gods. And he overpowers one more god. He emphasizes that he's already whooped that other god and whooped this god, and he's going to whoop one more. He just lines them all up and gives them a knockout punch every time. All right? El Mimi, Mitzrayim, of Egypt. What does Egypt mean? The land of red mud and canal banks. And she went up the frogs. She went up the frogs. And what is the god of the frogs? What's the frog god? That's the god of the resurrection. Remember? The frog god. Hekt. 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 Hekt is the frog god. Hekt. And she covered the land of Egypt. These frog gods covered the land of Egypt. Like I said, this was normal when the waters receded that the frogs came in. But this is a super, super plague. In the 1920s, right in the Taft and Bakersfield area, in the 20s, there was a plague of rats. You couldn't drive between Bakersfield and Taft without sliding off the road, sliding on so many rat bodies. They were all over the place. You can go down the road without being on top of them. Every now and then, there are a lot of creatures that multiply. The American Indians would have called that the year of the rats. Some years, there's lots of cockroaches. Cucarachas, you know. Some years, there are a lot of stink bugs. Some years, there are a lot of frogs. What?
Flies.
We live near the dairies. If you want to come out there and get some extra flies, we have got plenty. Brother Roger, did you take any of our pets home with you yesterday? As long as we've got dairies, we're going to have lots of flies. I can guarantee you. Those little biting flies, dog flies, the teeth. Some years, there are a lot of lizards. Some years, there are a lot of snakes. There are cycles like this. But this cycle here was so much greater than anything that they'd ever known. They'd never seen anything like this before. In history, and they had a recorded history. These people weren't ignorant. They wrote things down, and they wrote every year. If you go, did you know the American Indians wrote? That almost everything the American Indians wrote and all the histories, there were winter counts, there were historians in every tribe, that all of their writings were destroyed? So they could say, well, they were just ignorant people that we walked on. Talk about genocide. Talk about a Holocaust. there was a Holocaust in this country. About 400 years worth of it. More than just a little while. All of it was destroyed. These people had writings. 8 and verse 3. Waya'asu. Ken. Ha cha tu mim. Vila tihim. Waya'alu. Et. Ha spardiim. El Eretz Mitzrayim. All right. And they kept on doing this in the same manner. The scribes. These were the religious scribes. These were the religious writers. These were the inspired writers of Egypt. These were literally the engravers. They could do this too. Now what is going on here is that all the frog eggs hatched. All the frog eggs hatched. Their little tadpoles became frogs. All of them hatched. Sometimes 70, 80, 90, 95% of the frog eggs are destroyed. But this time all of the frog eggs hatched. And the Egyptian holy men, that's what they were called. You know, they wore white robes and they had their bodies, they washed their bodies two or three times a day. They were real clean people and all this kind of stuff. And showing how righteous they were before the Egyptians. By the way, one of the reasons why that Israel would not offer sacrifices in Egypt, they wanted to get out of the land to offer sacrifices. The Egyptians were so clean, they washed themselves. The Jews were not that clean. They took baths occasionally and everything, but the Egyptians took baths every day. The Jews did not do that. But the Jewish sacrifices had to be what? They had to be washed and cleansed. So if they washed and cleansed the animals that they were going to sacrifice, it would inflamed and incited and insulted the Egyptians, saying, you're making the animals look like us, washing them like we wash ourselves. That's what the problem was. All right, these are the religious readers. These are literally the engravers, the writers, the religious writers. In the secret arts and the secrecy, and this word here is bilatihim, and that comes from the word lot. And the name Lot, the guy there was that is in Sodom and Gomorrah, that was a judge and a lawyer in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot there, his name means dark or secret. The dark or secret arts. All the people, the Jewish people, began the art of palm reading and the art of tarot card reading and soothsaying. They're the ones that started all of this, okay? And I think they borrowed it from the heathen cultures, maybe all the way from Egypt. Maybe they didn't quite shake it loose when they left the land. And they brought, and they kept on bringing up the frogs upon the land of Egypt. Do you have any questions there? We'll quit right here tonight. Is that all right? Okay, we can quit right there. And we did from 7:29 to 8 and 3. But we covered a lot of other ground, didn't we? 7:29 through 8 and 3. Do you have any questions? Julie, you got any questions?
My Bible is very different.
Hebrew is...
No, I mean, like, I have verses missing, a whole bunch of verses I have, like, it's totally different.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We're reading from the original language. In the New Testament... Yeah, in the New Testament, you're going to find the same thing when we're studying books. When we get over in the Gospel of John that we're doing on Wednesday night, when we get over there 7:59 to 8:11, you're going to find it's all missing. It wasn't there. It was added much, much later. Okay? There are things missing in the Bible that we have, and there are things that have been added. Okay? So we have things added, and we have things missing. Gene. I hope you enjoyed the class tonight.
Yeah.
And Brother Abe, he's our genius in the class. He doesn't say anything. You know, smart people don't talk very often. Do you have any questions, Brother? Every now and then, boy, if he says something, if he's got a question, I listen because it's a good look. How about you, Pam? No questions? Pam is always inviting people to come to the class. Someday they'll come. They'll really come. All right? Well, let's have a word of prayer and go out and do something eternal. All right? Brother Abe, would you mind coming up here and dismissing us in prayer? He's our song leader on Sunday morning.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. You gave us a great study time.